It's time for Hogue Health Radio, brought to you by Hogue Memorial Hospital Presbyterian, Orange County's top hospital. And now, here's Deborah Howell.
Yeah, man. Okay, grab a red stripe and welcome to our show. Thanks very much for listening and for telling a friend. You're welcome to send any questions or comments to me by email through the Hogue Hospital website at hoguehealth.com. Today we're speaking with Dr. Philip Robinson. He is the Medical Director of Infection Prevention and Hospital Epidemiology at Hogue Hospital in Newport Beach. And the topic is one that concerns pretty much every single one of us this year in particular. Let's talk about colds and influenza, the good old flu. Welcome, Dr. Robinson.
Well, hello there.
Now, each year, between 5 and 20% of the population contract influenza. More than 200,000 are hospitalized, and 36,000 actually die from seasonal influenza-related complications annually. So what's a mother to do?
You know, this is one of my pet peeves. We worry about so many things in our lives, and it seems to me that each year when the flu comes through, that nobody really pays too much attention to it. And the statistic that you quoted is just shocking. 36,000 Americans every year die from influenza.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that doesn't really include the numbers that get sick and may die from other types of viral infections like the common cold, which most people think is pretty innocuous. But both of these infections can cause issues with your immune system, with your lungs, predispose you to other infections. So preventing the common cold, preventing regular seasonal influenza is extremely important. The most important couple things that one could do would be, number one, if you get sick, don't spread it. Stay
right
at home. Isolate yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you are out in public and you want to avoid getting sick, make sure you practice what we call good hand hygiene. So, number one, wash your hands frequently with soap and water, or
mm-hmm.
use one of the alcohol-based hand hygiene products.
Right, like Purell or something.
Exactly. And then the other thing is, don't touch your face.
Right.
Our face basically has three types of holes, right? We've got our mouth, and our mouth is actually pretty well protected. Our immune system is right there, can prevent lots of bacteria. And, you know, you can eat some pretty bad things and not get sick.
Right.
But our nose is less protected,
mm-hmm.
and our eyes are totally open. So if you were to touch a handrail, it may have influenza or the common cold virus on it. Then you don't wash your hands, and you touch your face near your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
The organism can easily enter your body at that point and cause illness. So washing your hands, not touching your face, and staying home with your sick will prevent
mm-hmm.
80% to 90% of these virus infections.
Pretty simple if you just follow it. And also cough into your elbow, not into
That's
your hand.
That's right. The Dracula.
Do the Dracula.
Exactly. That's
it's
very
so important
helpful.
Because it's such an obvious thing. You obviously, if you sneeze or cough into your hand, that goes to your hand, that goes to the handrail, and da-da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
What about getting chilled? Now, you know, there are two schools of thought. Getting chilled has nothing to do with getting a cold. And the other one says, you know, but getting chilled kind of wrecks your immune system a little bit and might allow that cold to enter your body. What do you say?
Well, years and years past, if you got a cold, it was because you got cold. And the real observation is that when it is cold out and you get cold,
mm-hmm.
You get that chill. It's just that people are now coming indoors, they're closer together, and if one person gets sick, it's much easier to spread. So the association is really a weather phenomenon and a human nature phenomenon rather than any effect on your immune system.
Okay.
Your immune system, by the time you're feeling a chill, let's
mm-hmm.
say you got an infection and your body chills,
mm-hmm.
what that is your immune system actually revving up, not down.
Okay.
Your immune system is saying, hey, I'm being attacked, and one of the ways that I can fight off this attacker, this virus or bacteria, is to cause a fever. And in order to generate a fever, your body makes little involuntary muscle movements, and what that is the chill. So
okay.
that's actually a normal or immune response, not an inadequate immune response.
But we live in Southern California, so we don't have a big winter cold problem. However, a lot of us go skiing in Aspen, and many men in particular don't wear hats. Now, their heads are going to get very, very cold. And what do you say to that?
as far as the literature shows, it does not appear that that actually puts you at increased risk of infection. But the literature is confounded because in those environments, people tend to huddle together more.
Okay.
There may be less ventilation. And a lot of the viruses that spread in the winter are actually viruses that survive in our environment better because it is a colder, drier environment.
Okay. Now, I'm really glad that I was able to ask you that question, and I really appreciate your answer to it. Now, how do you as a doctor protect yourself? Do you take any extra measures?
No, I do. I follow the advice that I just gave you. Very, very simple. I wash my hands probably hundreds of times a day because I am dealing with patients that have many of the infections that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
I make certain I don't touch my face. I make certain that I stay away from sick people if at all possible. Now, obviously, as an infectious disease physician, I can't stay away from people with infections because that's my livelihood.
Exactly.
So when I interact with patients that have specific infections, I sometimes will wear what we call personal protective equipment, and that may include gloves, special gowns, and even masks,
mm-hmm.
so that I'm less at risk of getting infected.
Sounds good, like a good plan. And so far, so good? Knock on something?
So far, so good. I haven't gotten anything from my patients yet.
All right, very good. Now, we all know that getting a seasonal flu vaccine is the best way to prevent influenza, but when is the best time to get vaccinated? They say the flu season is revving up early this year.
Well, typically you want to get your flu shot, the seasonal flu shot, that is, in the fall. In Southern California, our flu season starts to get rolling usually in about mid to late December and goes through March.
Mm-hmm.
Other parts of the world is a little bit different. But in North America in general, you want to get your flu shot in the fall, starting September, October, into December. And, you know, there really is no too late time to get the flu shot. If it's available, I would go ahead and get it.
Sounds good.
The flu shot is really quite effective at 70 to 80% effective in preventing seasonal influenza, and it would go a long way in reducing all those deaths that we talked about earlier.
So 2 seconds of minor discomfort for, oof, boy, a lot of missed misery.
Exactly.
Now, exactly. This is important because if you have a medical condition that puts you at risk and you get your flu shot, that's just not enough. You need to ask your nieces and your nephews and your grandkids and your caregivers coming to see you to get their flu shots, too, or they could be compromising your health.
That's exactly right. You know, it's really a shame that the people who really need to get immunity towards the flu from a flu shot are the least likely to respond well to the flu shot. These are patients maybe undergoing chemotherapy who have other problems with your immune system,
mm-hmm.
HIV, diabetes. These people, we always give the flu shot to, but we worry because their immune system may not be able to develop as great of immunity towards that flu that was in that flu shot as we would like. So it's important for those people to have everybody around them get vaccinated, so that they're less likely to bring it home and transmit it to the person who got their flu shot like they should, but may not have responded to the flu shot like a healthy person would.
Okay, very good. Now, I always find it's so amazing. So many people I work with just say, oh, no, I don't get the flu shot. I'm scared of it, or I had it once and it made me really sick, or, you know, it's just amazing.
It is. And, after you've seen somebody die from influenza,
mm-hmm.
you change your story. Or if you lose somebody to influenza, a disease that is perfectly preventable with a simple and safe vaccine, that will change people's minds.
Now, there's a bit of controversy about babies and flu shots. Children younger than 6 months of age are the pediatric group at highest risk of seasonal influenza complications, but they're too young to receive the vaccine. So the best way to protect these children is to vaccinate their close contacts, including siblings and out-of-home caregivers. Is there anything else people can do to protect their babies from influenza or, God forbid, the swine flu?
Right. So, certainly, if anybody comes into this young child's life, they need to be healthy. If someone is ill, they should not be interacting with this child. That would be the most important step, followed by making sure that we have created sort of a zone of immune individuals around that child so that nobody brings it to the child. The tricky thing about influenza...
Mm-hmm.
is that half the cases are asymptomatic, and
right.
you can still transmit the virus. So you may feel fine, and you may be able to transmit it to somebody else, even though you didn't know you were sick.
Hmm. Tricky stuff. Thank you so much for being on the program, Dr. Robinson.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's just a pleasure to have you here. Now, you can download this show anytime onto your iPhones, your Shuffles, your iPods, and listen to it back. And I'm sure you have some friends who are worried about getting the swine flu and other forms of flu this year who could benefit from listening to this show. We'll be talking about swine flu specifically in our next segment, so please stay tuned. This is Deborah Howell for Hoag Health Radio. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and please do stay tuned. Much more to come.